Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of the On the Rocks podcast. I'm Denver Post sports writer Kyle Newman, alongside my colleague Patrick Saunders here at Coors Field as the Rockies are wrapping up a homestand and preparing to head east to New York to start a three-city road trip. And today on the show, we're going to be talking the trade deadline, July 31st, coming up, creeping up. There's just one this year. Will the Rockies make a move? Will they be sellers? Will they be buyers? Will they stand pat? Patrick, you've had a lot of questions about this in your mailbag. We've written quite a bit about it in some columns, who they should target. But it really comes down to, is Jeff Breidich going to shake things up?
Well, I've written this, and you and I have talked a lot about this, Kyle. I think a lot of this depends on this next stretch of games. Today is July 15th, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. So we've essentially got 2 weeks before the July 31st trade deadline. As we all know, sometimes these things go down to the wire. Well, the Rockies currently sit tied for fourth place in the NL West. They're three games out of the final wild card spot. They've lost 15 of their last 21. They're facing a 10-game, 11-day road trip back east. What I'm saying is what the Rockies will do at the trade deadline and what Jeff Breidich decides he wants to do is going to be determined, in my opinion, by the next, 10, 11 games. And if the Rockies continue to slide like they're doing now, I imagine the Rockies are either going to stand pat, be bystanders, or, hey, who knows, maybe they start selling some pieces off. You know, I had a question in my mailbag the other day, and somebody said, would the Rockies look to sell off some of their high-priced relievers, Wade Davis, Brian Shaw, Jake McGee, who all have, after this year, 1 year left on their contracts. And the fans' idea was, well, take some money off the books, get rid of them. But the problem with that is we've seen how they pitched lately. Wade Davis had a blow-up last night. Brian Shaw didn't pitch well last night. I'm not sure anybody wants to take those guys off the Rockies' hands. So if the Rockies are going to be sellers, I'm not sure what right now they have to sell. And I'm not saying I've heard any rumors about this or anything, but I'm wondering, I'm curious what you think about this, Kyle. What if an American League team came to the Rockies and said, you know what, Daniel Murphy's heating up. It's only a 2-year deal. We get him as a rental for the final 2 months of this year. We'll take him for next year at whatever it is, $12 million, and use him as a DH or something, or a bat off the bench, or a platoon type guy. I'm not saying somebody's going to come calling for Daniel Murphy. But if you're the Rockies, don't you listen to him? Because it was only a 2-year, $24 million deal. Clearly, he's not the first baseman of the future. If a team came calling and they said, listen, we're interested in Daniel Murphy. If I'm Jeff Breidich, I listen.
I would listen to offers for Daniel Murphy. I mean, your offense is strong enough, yeah, in my opinion. Now, I've seen this in the Twitter sphere. John Gray. Oh, the Red Sox are interested in John Gray. They're calling about John Gray. I would not trade John Gray. And that, I don't see that happening this year for sure. But then on the flip side of the coin, Patrick, okay, if they're buyers, let's just say, even in the craziest universe, because I don't think this is going to happen 100%, somehow the Rockies get Mad Bum from the Giants. Okay, now they got like kind of an ace, an old ace. Does that even solve their problems? Like, I mean, they have a lot of holes in the bullpen and the rotation right now, especially if, like we discussed on the last episode, if Herman and Kyle Freeland don't steady and John Gray's bearing a lot of weight right now. Is one big arm in the bullpen or in the rotation going to make the difference, or is it too much for this team? That's too far away.
Well, here's what I would think. If the Rockies were playing good baseball, and if they started pitching better, because it all depends on pitching. The offense has at times been disappointing, particularly this homestand.
At the beginning of the year.
Yeah, and the defense has been shoddy, let's face it. The defense has been, in some ways, the most disappointing thing about this team.
So far.
But let's say the Rockies pull their act together in the next 10 days, and they start winning, and you get a vibe. What I think Bumgarner and I have... I don't think he's ever coming here.
Right.
But if he did, what he gives you is that extra gun to take into a postseason to where, and he has an incredible postseason track record, to where, let's suppose the Rockies made it to the wild card game or made it as a wild card team and went right to the division, the NLDS, then you could throw Bumgarner, hopefully a rejuvenated Marquez, and a John Gray. And if you have three strong arms, you can win a five-game series, and you can compete in a seven-game series. So to me, the Mad Bum acquisition, if in a fantasy world it ever happened, would not just help the Rockies get to the playoffs. It would make them take the next step and actually do something in the playoffs, right? Whereas if they went for somebody like a Marcus Stroman, who a lot of people think is one of the top names on the board, and a lot of people have already connected the dots to him and the Yankees. I mean, he grew up in the New York area. The Yankees are very interested in him. Stroman, Bud Black has told me he likes Stroman. He likes his ability to get the ball on the ground. He thinks he's got enough veteran moxie to be able to work out of jams at Coors Field, all that stuff. Stroman, in my mind, it doesn't give you that big gun that's going to make a difference postseason. But he would give you enough stability to maybe get you to the postseason, if that makes sense. But I don't know who else is out there the Rockies could acquire without giving up huge pieces. You know, and that's the problem with the Rockies. They're not a gambling team when it comes to the trade deadline. And my guess is, and somebody the other day very closely connected with the team, and I'm not going to mention their name, said, you know, if the Rockies do anything at all, it's going to be a Sun Wan Oh type acquisition, right? It's
exactly.
It's going to be, and that makes sense. It's going to be a guy who helps and might stabilize the bullpen. And it's a nice little addition, but it's not Justin Verlander, the Houston Astros, at the stroke of midnight, right? And it's not, you know, some blockbuster deal. I mean, hey, tip my hat to the Rockies if they ever do that, but they don't do it, and I don't think they're going to do it.
I agree with you. At the same time,
at this point, should they even do it? The way the team's playing, you give a bunch of prospects up now for a – I don't know if it's the smartest thing to do right now.
Yeah, they're not exactly leading, the crowd, huh?
And we know fans get all the Rockies never do anything at the deadline, and it's a fair criticism to some extent, but it's also you don't just go and make a trade just to make a trade, just say, hey, look, we made a trade. Well, that's stupid, too.
Well, here's a question, though, for you, Patrick. You're looking at the Rockies' top prospects, and I'm just pulling up MLB pipeline right now. Obviously, Brennan Rogers, number one, he's out for the season with that shoulder injury. He'll be back next year. But you got a trove of infield prospects up here.
Well,
you got Colton
Welk,
a trove.
A trove? Oh, I love that word, trove.
A ton, right?
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Trove. I love
like
that.
Like a treasure trove.
Yeah, I get that.
Okay.
That's cool.
Colton Welker, he's the crown jewel in the treasure trove, playing third base.
And he can play first, too.
Right, and he's going to probably be on the major league bubble heading into next spring.
Yes.
Okay, you got Grant Levine, a bit younger, but coming up, highly rated first baseman. You got Tyler Nevin, first third baseman, Ryan Velarde. Then you got some, you know, big outfielder Sam Hilliard having a huge year. Josh Fuentes, Arenado's cousin, plays first and third for the Topes. Long time minor. I mean, what are you going to do with him? I'm not saying he's a super top prospect, but there's a lot of intriguing names. But like you said, it's going to come down to, well, do you take that risk with a team that could very well be out of the playoff picture if you make a deal at the end of July by mid-August?
Yeah, and that's and you know, fans criticize the Rockies all the time for maybe not being dramatic as they would like. But let's face it, the Rockies are not the Dodgers, they're not the Yankees, they're not the Red Sox, right? They don't have as deep of pockets. This is a homegrown team. And they've made the playoffs two consecutive years, largely based on being homegrown. And Marquez, okay, yes, he was a trade, but the Rockies essentially raised him.
Right.
So, I'm sorry, you just can't throw money around and make big trades for the sake of doing it. Now, let's say the Rockies were leading the wild card chase right now. And let's say rather than being, what are they, three games under 500, they were six games over 500. And we know they're not going to catch the Dodgers, but they're clearly one of the better teams in the National League, which right now they're clearly not. But let's say they were playing that kind of baseball. Then, to me, it makes sense. You see a winner and you say, you know what? All right, we have to put our cards on the table and say, is it worth it? Can we really legitimately think this team can make the playoffs and make a run in the playoffs? then it's worth taking the gamble. But right now, the Rockies, and I'm sure Jeff Bridges is thinking this himself, they got to be honest with themselves and say, listen, where's this heading? And is it really worth sacrificing some guys for the future to make maybe a so-so run to the playoffs? So that's what they're up against. And that's why the next 10 games, 11 games, to me, matters a lot.
And if they do wave that white flag, I imagine that would be a tough pill for Bridich and Co. to swallow, considering the momentum of the last 2 years, the expectations never higher, I'd argue, coming into this year. And then you sign Nolan and Harmon to these huge deals right at the beginning of the season, and this is the result.
And not to mention Charlie the year before that.
Right. Locking up Buddy as well.
Yes. Yeah, so there's no question about it. This has been incredibly disappointing. And the team is playing crummy baseball right now.
Yeah.
Right? And I was going to ask Buddy this today, pregame, and I didn't because I'm not sure how he would answer it. And I don't know. To me, the Rockies look like a tired baseball team. And I
get that sense in the clubhouse.
Right? And the fans are going to say, oh, give me a break. These guys are professional athletes. They're paid a lot. Everybody else is tired, too. Okay, fair enough. But not every other team has to endure what the Rockies have had to endure this June and July at Coors Field. Four-hour games, four-and-a-half-hour games, incredible blow-ups by the bullpen, terrible starting pitching, players out there for 30-minute innings with no action. It's a tired ball club right now, and I think you see it on defensive lapses. I don't think there's a good energy with this team right now. A few wins would change that, but you know, we're around this team, and no, we're not behind the scenes in the clubhouse all the time. But I get the sense that this is a team just not in a good place. I mean, that's my honest gut feeling.
And folks, Kyle Newman and Patrick Saunders on the On the Rocks podcast. Appreciate you tuning in. You can head to denverpost.com for continued coverage of the club throughout this road trip. Patrick will be in New York and D.C., and I'll be at the club in the Natty, as Patrick likes to say.
You know what you need to do when you go to Cincinnati, the Natty? You need to say hi to Les Nessman, right? Dr. Johnny Fever, you're looking at me like you don't know what I'm talking about.
This is some show from WKRRP in Cincinnati.
WKRP in Cincinnati, one of the greatest underrated sitcoms of all time. And those who know the show will know exactly what I'm talking about when I say, as God is my witness, I thought turkeys could fly.
Okay. And until next time, folks, take it easy.